Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you sort out your belly, your hormones, and your relationship with food. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, a holistic nutritionist and all-round health geek, although I have to say and confess, I can't seem to keep a plant alive for the life of me. I can keep myself healthy and alive, but not plants. Welcome to this next episode of the Gut Goddess Show, and today we're talking about what you need to know about supplementation and my two favorite supplements that I recommend for everyone, my two kind of all-rounder supplementation for people to take. So that's what we'll be diving into, getting a little bit geeky about vitamins and minerals and all that sort of good stuff, because it's something I talk to clients about a lot. I've just finished up with some client sessions just before recording this, and she was chatting about magnesium and probiotics and digestive enzymes and all sorts of good stuff, because it does tend to be a supplementary part of the work that I do with clients. So that's what we're talking about today. But before we dive on in, first of all, I want to say thanks for some of the new reviews. So if you listen to this podcast and you've listened to this more than once, maybe twice, maybe three times, maybe you listen to it every week, I would love it if you would go and leave me a review just as a way of saying, hey, Kezia, I'm listening, and thank you so much for the time, energy, and finances that you invest in this in order to create it, because a weekly podcast doesn't happen for free. And I love to hear from you. So thank you to Coastal Claire, who said, Kezia is so knowledgeable and so good at explaining topics, so easy to listen to and understand. Thanks, Claire. And Sayambuka, I think, if I pronounce that correctly. I love the way that you break down all this information into understandable chunks. Thank you. And some nice emojis in there as well. So in order to leave a review, you go to iTunes, search The Gut Goddess Show in the iTunes store, click on the picture of me eating chocolate. Then you'll see an option, a tab for ratings and reviews. You click on that, you'll see a button that says write a review, and boom, da da boom, you've written a review, and I will be very happy. So thank you for those, for everyone who has left a review. And if you haven't done one yet, please go and leave one. That would be great. So that's the first thing. And the next thing is, you may or may not have noticed, I took a little break. I just gotten back from holiday. So I went away for 10 days to Tenerife. Don't know why I always want to say that in a Geordie accent, but I do. I'm Tenerife, man. We're going to Tenerife to get some sun, you know. Anyway, I grew up in Newcastle and my Geordie accent isn't that great. So I took a bit of a break. Also, I got some sad news before I left, and so I just needed to have a little bit of a break. So thank you for bearing with me and tuning back in. I hadn't planned to take a break, but life sort of happened and I had some just personal stuff to deal with family that needed my attention. But I'm back and ready to talk about all things health and you feeling awesome. Also, just to say, if you know you need a hand with ditching sugar, then make sure you get my sugar-free meal plan. I've got a whole meal plan that outlines how to ditch sugar while still eating chocolate, and you can find that at supernaturallyhealthy.org/WP/sweet. And I'll put a link for that in the show notes. Otherwise, let's get on with the show, guys. So let's dive in into this topic of supplementation. And I tend to find the reason I'm talking about this is because I notice that people fall into two camps often around the topic of supplementation. One is that they are like, supplements don't work, they're a waste of money, you pee them out, there's no point in them, they're marketing games or a money-making game, they don't do anything, blah, 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 blah. And then other people fall into the trap of, I'll just take a million different types of supplements, buy every supplement I read about on Google, have a drawer full of supplements, supplements are the answer. If I just, you know, if there's any health problem, then I just need to find the supplement that will fix said issue. People tend to generally fall into one of these two camps, and neither of these camps, I would argue, is the most awesomest of camp to be in. And what I'm going to talk about is a little bit about what I mean by supplementation, when and why I use them for myself personally, and also with clients, why I would do recommendations. What are the kind of the two super basic supplements that everyone can get away with? What can be dangerous about supplementation? And why? And a little bit about kind of vitamins and minerals and all of that sort of stuff. So, as a holistic nutritionist, I'm recording this actually after having an evening of seeing two clients, and part of what I do with them is we go through, I talk about their health history, they'll fill in a questionnaire, so I create a bit of a timeline of their life, we talk about their current symptoms, current environment, living environment, stress environment, I ask all sorts of random questions about their teeth, about their poo, their periods, the house that they live in, all sorts of stuff to really get to grips with what's going on. And then at the end, what I'll do is we'll talk through kind of nutritional changes as well as any lifestyle and any supplementation that is useful. So supplementation is something I do a lot with my clients, and I'm on the camp where I do think supplementation can be really helpful. Now, the reason for that is, or even taking a step, one step back from that, when we're talking about supplements, we're talking about things kind of like pills that you would buy at health food shops, could be recommended by nutritionists, or just things you just buy randomly off the shelf. So they're not medication, they're not prescribed. They can come in the form of nutrients, like minerals, like magnesium, and vitamins like B12 and vitamin C. And you can also get herbs, so herbal supplementation. So you might supplement with something like Angus castus or like fenugreek or dandelion extract, all of these kinds of different things. So there's a whole array of supplementation. You might also supplement with kind of bacteria, so with probiotics, or with kind of food that you can often kind of, people will distill food into certain pills. So you might get some camu powder, which is a food based thing that will then get put into a capsule because it's really high in vitamin C. So there's a whole world of supplementation you can get out there. There's some really crap supplements that are just filled with the cheapest, most rubbish, least absorbable kind of nutrients and minerals with all the different fillers and craps in there. And then you can get some really good quality stuff as well. So when it comes to talking about supplements, if we take it a step back from that, often I find that when I'm talking to clients that a lot of people don't realize how fundamentally important it is that you have the right balance and the right amount. So not too much and not too little. More is not always best when it comes to the body. I often use the analogy a lot. It's like Goldilocks, not too big, not too little. The body wants not too much, not too little of certain nutrients and minerals. Just because you've read vitamin B12 is really good doesn't mean you should take shed loads of vitamin B12 unless you have test results that show you're incredibly low, because you want just the right amount. Same with vitamin D. You don't just want to be randomly taking vitamin D all the time. You actually really want to do regular testing, because you can have too much vitamin D just as you can have too little. So vitamins and minerals. So by vitamins, I'm talking about vitamin C, vitamin D, your B vitamins. So B12, B6, B2, all of those things. You've got your minerals, which are loads of them, magnesium and iron and manganese and a whole host of different minerals. These are essential. They're not like, the body's not like, oh, it would be useful if I had some like folate right now, like that would be helpful. But you know, whatever, it's not essential. Vitamins and minerals play an essential role in reactions, processes, pathways, DNA replication, the production of immune cells and digestion, detoxing. They play key roles in those certain aspects in the body. If you think about your body as basically being like, it's the body is like a whole chain of kind of chemical reactions and processes and pathways and these different things going on. And these vitamin and minerals play really important roles. They're often called cofactors. So if you're creating energy, for example, so in the form of ATP, in order for that creation of this thing that we call energy, you actually need really important cofactors. So in the form of magnesium and other different components, vitamins and minerals, in order to produce energy in order to create this thing that is energy. If you're looking to, if you want to create serotonin, you need good amounts of, you know, tryptophan, which is amino acid. You need that in the body in order to help create your serotonin. Now, the body can sometimes make up for lack and it will kind of buffer things and be like, oh, we haven't got quite enough tryptophan. I'll maybe take that from somewhere else. But often it's just important to think that vitamins and minerals aren't, well, it would be nice for the body to have. They are essential for the body to have. They are essential for a healthy body. So that's worth saying. But it doesn't mean that everyone just needs to like mindlessly supplement to their end. Because in theory, in a perfect world, we probably wouldn't need supplements because we would be eating a really nice diverse range of food with all the vitamins and minerals that we need. We'd also have really perfect digestion. So we weren't just eating foods that had all these vitamin minerals. We were able to digest them, meaning we're able to break them down, absorb them, and transport them on a molecular level to different organs and cells in order to be used in reactions. And also in a perfect world, we wouldn't be stressed. We wouldn't have polluted air, polluted water. We wouldn't be living in moldy houses. We wouldn't be eating fish that's got heavy metals in it. We wouldn't be getting tons of vaccinations with loads of mercury and loads of other stuff and other medications that we may be on for, you know, for life-saving reasons. But we're on these kind of medications. We might, you know, perfect world, we wouldn't smoke. We wouldn't drink loads. We wouldn't have even be introduced to refined sugar. We wouldn't have sleep debt and sleep deprivation. We wouldn't be working in dark rooms, sitting down all day. Like in a pit. So if all of those things we're working fine, I don't think we probably need supplements. That's my, like in a perfect world, perfect digestion, you're not stressed out a lot of the time, you're digesting everything you eat, you're eating a really good range of foods, you're not eating foods that are kind of taking away from health, like refined sugars and all of those kind of things, you're just eating, all the food you're eating is building up and supporting health, then you know what, maybe you wouldn't need supplements. You know, if our ground was as nutrient dense as it used to be, if our farming methods were really honoring of the seasons and the cycles, if we didn't spray our food with tons of chemicals and pesticides and herbicides, if we didn't give our animals needless drugs and kind of torture them before we ate them, in a perfect world, we probably wouldn't need supplements because we would be eating really nutrient-dense foods, we'd be digesting those nutrient-dense foods, and we wouldn't be stressing ourselves out on a day-to-day basis, and stress really depletes us of a lot of nutrients. So I am of both camps in supplements, in where I really do agree with the argument that actually we don't really need supplements. But when I look at the reality of my own life and the life of my clients and the world that I'm currently living, then I would say supplementation can be a really helpful tool in helping you to get the way you want to feel. Also, I want to live and I want to live well and I want to live over a long time. And I think in terms of longevity and performance, supplementation can really help boost your kind of longevity when done properly and sort of performance and cognition and how you feel. But it's also, before I dive into it, it's worth highlighting that supplements, they're called supplements for a reason. They are supplementary to your diet, to your lifestyle. You cannot create health by supplementing alone. Like if you are still eating all the sugar and you're relying on caffeine and you're not getting any sleep and your mindset's crap towards food and you're binge eating and you hate your body and you think that taking a multivitamin is going to help with the, all of those other issues and kind of negate the fact that you don't eat vegetables, your digestion's rubbish, you hate your body, you're stressed out all the time and you don't sleep and you eat loads of sugar and caffeine, a supplement is not going to help those things. A supplement is a really helpful support. It's a supplement of a healthy lifestyle and a healthy way of eating and healthy digestion. If you've not got good digestion, if you're not eating very well, if you're not sleeping well, if you got a kind of in self-sabotage and destructive thinking, then a supplement isn't going to make you healthy. A supplement is supplementary. And when it used properly, so for myself, when I have got my stress, when I've dealt with stress well, when I'm dealing with my emotions, when I am eating good food, and not just eating good food, but also making sure I'm digesting that food, I'm pooping well, I'm not bloated all the time, I'm looking after my hormones, I'm getting good sleep, I'm moving my body. When I'm doing those things, then that's when supplements can really help. They can really contribute to that whole picture, but we can't rely on supplements alone. They, you know, no amount of supplement is going to change the fact that you live off of caffeine and sugar and you don't get any sleep and you hate yourself. Like, no supplement is going to help with that. But it can really, really help if you're already on the journey, if you are making some changes. Some supplements can really help with sleep. They can really help with mood. They can really help with depression. So I know what some of what I'm talking about, you might be a bit like, Kezia, you're kind of contradicting yourself. But I just want to, explain my approach to it, in that it's really important that we don't just treat supplements like magic miracle pills like we do with medication. And that's the danger. We're very much in a culture where there's a pill for every ill, and you might be like, no, because I'm going to get healthy. And so you basically take that attitude towards supplement, where you're like, right, I'm bloated, what supplement will fix that? Oh, right, I can't sleep, what supplement will fix that? You know, you don't want to transfer that pill for every ill mentality towards supplements, because that is part of the problem with our healthcare system, is that we're not preventative, we're not taking responsibility, we're not taking ownership. And that, I think, is one of the big crux of the issues. We all don't want to take responsibility for our health, so we just want someone else to fix it with a pill. And you can do that exact same with supplements. You can go, I don't want to take responsibility for the fact that I'm stressed out, that I don't sleep, that I'm in a toxic relationship. I just want to find a supplement that will make me feel better. And that you just can't get away with that. You're not going to get the results you want, and it'll be a bit of a waste of money. If you're willing to address the toxic relationship, get more sleep, then adding in a supplement can really help get to where you want to be. So I hope that makes sense. Again, with all my podcasts, you can head over to Supernaturally Healthy on Facebook or Instagram. Hit me up with questions or clarifying anything that I say. I love to hear from you guys. As I say every week, I kind of create this podcast to really help you, to serve you, so that you can really create this incredible life where it's just abounding in health and well-being and energy and joy, and you're able to do all the amazing things that God created you to do. That's what health is for. If we don't have our health, everything's a bit buggered, basically. It can feel really crap, but when we have our health, we can do all these awesome things for our families, our communities, and for the planet. So supplements, they are supplementary. So when it comes to supplements as well, there's a couple of things to be aware of. It's like I mentioned before, supplements can interact with the body, they can interact with medications, and I don't recommend just like supplementing willy-nilly. In a way, like if you're on a lot of medications, it's really worth checking the kind of interactions, if there's any interaction with your medication with supplements. So that's always worth doing, and I'll always do that with clients. And with supplementation, you tend to want a bit of a strategy for it, as opposed to like, oh, I'll just suck it and see. There's nothing wrong in a way of just trying stuff out and seeing how you feel. Like if you take a vitamin C and you feel better having vitamin C, then it's obviously doing something good. And if you take something for a few months and you don't notice any difference, you can probably stop taking it. So that's self-experimentation's not a disaster, but I often see people recommending certain supplements, whether it be like iodine or even like lots of high doses, taking high doses of certain things for a long period of time without ever really having a strategy, without ever running some tests. Because the best thing you want to do with supplementation, the golden standard, is you want to run some tests, find out where you're at. Where are your vitamin and mineral deficiencies? So I just ran a test recently to check in with my thyroid. And alongside that, I checked out my iron, my folate, my B12, my vitamin D, my something else. I can't remember the other one. Just to check with how it was all going. Because I wanted to see, after having a baby, where's my folate level at? Where's my B12? How's my iron? How's my vitamin D? Thankfully, all of them were doing good. So I know I don't need to. My iron was still a little bit low. So that means I need to maybe supplement for a couple, maybe another month or two with some iron. Because I was very low in iron after giving birth because of losing so much blood. So I know to take a little bit more, but I don't need to keep on taking it. Same with vitamin D. I've been supplementing a lot over the winter. I've just been on holiday. I've got good levels. So I'll probably keep on supplementing until the summer. And then I know I can probably have a break, because you don't want too much vitamin D and you don't want to keep on mindlessly taking it. So the golden standard is with supplements is work with someone qualified, get a test run, and then get a bespoke, strategic, accurate supplementation plan that suits you and your body. You can just buy random stuff and see, but it might not be that helpful. So that's point number one. Number two, when it comes to supplements, you really want to spend decent money on them and get good quality supplements. You don't just want to get the cheap, please don't buy supplements from your supermarket, like fish oils, magnesium, multivitamins. You don't just want to go down Tesco's, be like, oh, there's a multivitamin, I'll buy that. It will have the cheapest, crappiest form. Also, when you see any supplement like that you see advertised a lot, so like Pregnacare, pretty rubbish. I wouldn't recommend that at all. Or like your Vitabiotics that often get advertised in the buses, and they're like Vitabiotics for babies, Vitabiotics for men, Vitabiotics for women. Often they're just crap. They've got the cheapest, least bioavailable form of certain nutrients in there, and they're often filled, bulked out with tons of crap and fillers, and they're just not that effective. You'd really want to invest in good quality supplements. So I like brands like Garden of Life, Designs for Health, Solgar is okay. There's a whole bunch of different ones. I've got a link of the Amazon shop on my website that recommends a couple of the supplements and brands that I like. And there's Thorn is quite a good one. Cytoplan, I quite like those. BioCare are okay. But you really need to be making sure you're getting good quality supplements in there. So don't buy your supplements at Tesco's supermarkets. I also wouldn't get them from your high street health food stores. If you have like a nice local independent one, then that will probably sell different ones. But a lot of your cheaper, like your Holland and Barrett supplements, are often similar kind of problem. I don't really recommend clients getting their supplements from there unless it's like a magnesium spray or Epsom salts, or I mean vitamin C. You could probably get vitamin C from Holland and Barrett. That's not going to be a disaster. So it really does matter about quality, because you want forms to be like your nutrients, your vitamins and minerals, you want them to be in the right form. And when it comes to herbs, if you're taking herbal supplements, you also want them to be in the right strength and also in the kind of more sort of bioavailable form, and a good kind of blend of different things as well. So that's the second thing to remember. The other thing with supplement, the third thing is, if you are trying out a supplement, say you come and you work with me and I'm like, hi, Nadia, you should maybe try this. I really think that taking some selenium would be helpful for you because I suspect you've got thyroid issues, for example. Then you don't just want to take it for a week and be like, oh, it didn't do anything. You actually want to take it for a good month or two, ideally 2 months, ideally three probably. Yeah, 2 to 3 months. And see how that feels. Most supplements aren't miracle pills. They're not like, I took selenium, my life has changed. It's about giving the body some of the kind of basic raw materials that it needs to support the immune system, to create white blood cells, to heal the skin, to support the gut. It's not like an instant quick fix kind of thing. So it's really worth taking it. Once you've gotten that plan, once you've made sure that the supplements aren't going to interact negatively with any medications that you're on or any health issues that you have or any genetic factors or those kind of things, then you actually do want to be relatively consistent. Often taking the best plans to take supplements before a meal. So you want to take a supplement before you have a meal, eat your meal. You don't want to have them afterwards. And just in order to help kind of, you don't want your supplements sitting on top of all your food. So that is also another kind of good supplement hygiene. But those are a couple of the basic things. Now you might be thinking, well, we're talking about supplements, Kezia. So what supplements should I take? That's the big juicy golden question. It's like, well, tell me what to take. What supplements should I be taking? Now, bearing in mind everything that I've said, I don't tend to have like everyone should take this, 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 and this, because I've worked with so many clients and so many women in my Nourish community. Everyone is so freaking different. Genetically, you might really need to take B12 and folate like me, or genetically, you might not. That might be the worst thing to take for you because you would overmethylate and it would just be a disaster. Like, everyone is really, really different. So bear with that in mind. I tend to not recommend everyone should take certain things. I do have on my website a multivitamin that I do recommend. I think if you are going to take something, then, or if you're wondering what to take and you've not got any major health issues, then that can be quite a useful place to start, just to make sure you're not low in anything. But even then, sometimes multivitamins can have too high iron in, and sometimes people don't need the iron. Sometimes they need more iron, sometimes all that sort of stuff. But there is two supplements or supplementation activities that generally I feel comfortable recommending to you, to your granny, to your 16-year-old child, to your dad. And those are the following. So there's only two. One of them is vitamin C. Vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin, so meaning it doesn't get stored in the body. So we do need it. We need to eat it. We need it on it. And it plays a role in progesterone production, your immune system, collagen production. Really, really important. It's a really amazing vitamin. Really powerful. It's just an amazing, loads of research behind it. It's also non-toxic. You're not going to like have too much. Whereas if you like, you can have too much iodine, you can have too much vitamin A, those kinds of things. Whereas vitamin C, you can really go wild with it if you want. And it is so impactful, and it's also pretty cheap. So there's three different types of vitamin C supplements you can take. And there's three different price brackets. Anything is better than nothing. But the best one would be a liposomal vitamin C. So it's how it's packaged is, it means it's much more absorbable in the body. But it's obviously more expensive. So that might cost you more like £40 or £50 for some liposomal vitamin C. I found it really useful. Running some tests, I had quite a lot of oxidative damage in my body. So having high doses of liposomal vitamin C has been really helpful. So that's like the best form of vitamin C you can have. It's also the most expensive, obviously. The next is food-based vitamin C. So this would be vitamin C tablets and supplements that would come from things like Camu Camu, Acreola, cherry, citrus peel, these kinds of things. So I know Cytoplan does a good one. Pukka does a good one where it's vitamin C, but it's purely food-based. So it's basically foods concentrated into a pill, and that's a great way of getting some really absorbable vitamin C. But that again might cost you more like £15-20 for like say 60 days worth of that. And then the next level, so the cheapest level would just be ascorbic acid. So this is most of your bog standard vitamin C. It's often derived from corn, and it's ascorbic acid. It can be dirt cheap. You can get like a thing for like a fiver, but it's still good. Like I have ascorbic acid. I do take it. Like I tend to go, depending on my budget throughout the year, we'll go between these three, and I'll always have some vitamin C, ascorbic acid in the house. And I do take it on a regular basis. So it's cheap, and that actually can be a really good thing. You can still get loads of benefits from it, even though it's cheap. But if you do have a little bit more budget, then obviously you can go for maybe some slightly higher quality ones. So vitamin C, generally recommend that from supplement level. You can also do IVs, so intravenous vitamin C, and that can be helpful, but you probably need to, that's not something necessarily to do willy-nilly, especially if you have certain cancers and things, because sometimes that can aggravate it, and sometimes intravenous vitamin C can be awesome. Again, totally depends on what's going on in the body. So that's the first thing that everyone can take and could probably do with more of, because when you're stressed, you use up a lot of vitamin C. So vitamin C, one of my favorite vitamins. And I wrote a whole blog post about it as well. So I'll link to that in the show notes if you want to know more detail of why it's beneficial. Then there's magnesium. So this is a mineral, so it's not a vitamin. And magnesium is probably the other thing that I think everyone could probably benefit from supplementing. And the best ways that I recommend people to supplement with this is either in a bath, so adding Epsom salts to a bath and doing that 2 to 3 times a week, or if they're not a fan of a bath, is using magnesium spray. So getting some spray, spraying it on the soles of your feet before you go to sleep at night. It's a really gentle way of absorbing it. You're not having to digest it. You can't overdose with it because you're not taking a pill. If you have sore muscles, sore joints, maybe from working out or maybe from health conditions where you have wrist issues or sore neck or tension anywhere in your body, you can spray some magnesium spray on. And it's a great way of absorbing it into the body. And so many people are depleted in magnesium. And I'll probably do a whole podcast on magnesium one day because it's an awesome mineral. It plays a role, like I mentioned before, in energy production, in hormones, in sleep, in mood, in neurotransmitters, in skin, and, you know, it is awesome. And just putting two cups of Epsom salts in a bath, a couple of sprays of magnesium spray, is a great way of making sure you have enough of that in. And again, magnesium is a mineral that gets really depleted when we're stressed and everyone is pretty stressed. So those would be the two kind of supplements I would recommend for you, for your granny, for your partner, for like Epsom salts. I put them in my baby's bath. Like, I don't put like 2 cups worth. Obviously, you kind of need to always reduce things for the size of the person. But I'll put like a tablespoon in Merlin's bath to make sure he's getting enough magnesium. When he's older, he'll be getting vitamin C in his smoothies and all those kind of things. Don't need to do it right now because you get loads of vitamin C in breast milk. And so I make sure I get enough vitamin C so that he gets enough vitamin C through me. So these are really helpful. Also, magnesium spray. If your kids don't sleep well, you can put a couple of sprays on their feet. You can put Epsom salts in their bath. It's really safe. The only time I wouldn't do it is if someone has eczema or broken skin. You don't want to be spraying magnesium spray or putting them in a bath with magnesium if they have cracked, broken sort of skin, because that can sting a little bit. So there you go. That's kind of like the 411, 401, 101, I don't know what the number is, of supplementation. So that's kind of everything you need to know about supplements. They're my two basic favorite supplements that I kind of think everyone should be taking. I'll link to those in the show notes as well, so you can see if you want to find out the ones that I personally use. But if you have any other questions about this, then do let me know. Also, make sure you download your sugar-free meal plan, and because that will join you onto my newsletter list, and so you'll get to hear from me regularly, which will be fun. And I've got some exciting stuff in the woodworks coming in the woodwork. I don't, honestly, my phrases are all over the place. You can tell I'm recording this in an eve, and my brain definitely doesn't function as well. But thank you so much for your time, for listening, for investing in your health, for taking the time to change your health and to create and heal and eat well. You are doing an awesome job. Your body is going to thank you. And I'm so, so excited to be on this journey with you. And do let me know if I can help and serve you in any way. Otherwise, I'll see you next week for another podcast. Bye.